Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail.
Hello, my name is Michael, and I am a marketing manager from Johnny Pops. At Johnny Pops, we make frozen treats that are made with simple ingredients and are free from artificial dyes. From our delicious organic water pops to our indulgent cream minis to our new magical unicorn twist pops, there's a pop for everyone to enjoy. Similar to Infra, we are a values-led company centered around kindness. In honor of our namesake, Jonathan, there's a kind deed on every stick. Because we believe that acts of kindness, both big and small, can help make the world a better place. As summer starts to kick off, Johnny Pops are the perfect way to add a little extra magic to your freezer. Whether you're at a backyard barbecue, a neighborhood event, or just looking for a better for you treat, Johnny Pops are the perfect shareable treat. If you want to learn more about our products and story, visit johnnypops.com.
This week on The Buyer's Desk, we're going way back to our second episode ever. Listen to a conversation with Mark Squire from Infra member store Good Earth Natural Foods in California about buying strategies and agricultural practices and how regenerative organic is shaping the next wave of sustainability for producers, consumers, and brands. Enjoy this episode from the backstock.
It's my pleasure to welcome Mark Squire, one of the owners of Good Earth Natural Foods in the California Bay Area, sitting with me today on The Buyer's Desk. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for making time. Now, we've had a little bit of a conversation. We want to definitely get into some regenerative issues today, but I'm also interested in overall kind of talking about grocery buying, how anything regenerative or otherwise sustainable plays into some of those decisions for you. So, you know, feel free to digress at any point because it is a little bit of an interesting conversation. Would you mind if we just kicked off, you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are?
You know, believe it or not, I've been in the grocery business since I was 16. I didn't start Good Earth. I walked into it after it had been open for 6 months. This is 1969. You know, just was thrilled with, I had read everything I could about organic agriculture and really became convinced that diet and agriculture was the solution to so many of the problems that mankind was encountering. The business grocery part of it is just, you know, only to support the other part, right? That's the way I think of it.
I love that. I feel like we have a lot of independent natural food stores that have similar origin stories, but I feel like we're just now seeing vendors starting to do that where it's mission first, and then they're creating a product and selling it. Yeah. But I think that the story is amazing either way. All right. So tell me a little bit about your grocery buying philosophy. Like, you took over the store, you did some buying for some time. Tell me about, like, what are the types of questions you asked yourself putting things on the shelf?
Well, I think we always sort of came from the place that we were a gatekeeper, and it was our job to look at what I think of as food quality. I think I rapidly realized that There's a lot of marketing hype in the food world. So we always tried to, when we were looking at ingredients, one of the things that I would always do is go to what I used to call the can you make it in your own kitchen conversation. You know, and I still believe this, that, you know, if a manufacturer can't explain to you how you would make an ingredient or a product in your own kitchen, then we probably don't want to be eating that stuff. Really, when it comes to food, it really is food preparation should be understandable to a cook, right? I mean, I guess that's another way to say it.
Yeah.
My reading on organics and, you know, becoming really convinced that organic agriculture was actually similar to diet, was going to heal humans. Organic agriculture was the way we could heal the soil and heal our agricultural system and get away from the pesticides. You know, I think that we early on sort of adopted and became advocates for organic standards and using organic a little bit as sort of the minimum requirement that we wanted to achieve store-wide. You know, we're getting there. We still have a few things that aren't organic at Gooders. You know, I'd say we're definitely over 95% of what we sell is now organic. And you know, honestly, back in, you know, the late 60s, I would have never thought that was even achievable. You know, it's so great to see, you know, all these products come out.
Absolutely. 95% is amazing. I thought for sure you were going to use like a big, bold adjective there, but also totally makes sense to think about how far the industry has come in that period of time, which is an awesome segue into talking about, you know, what's next beyond organic? Where are we, you know, now that things are, you know, consumers are understanding a little bit more, you can find things in every other category. Tell me what's next.
Absolutely. And, you know, regenerative, I got to admit, I'm a little bit worried about the term regenerative because, you know, basically it means so many things to so many different people. And I think when you use the term, you immediately have to say, are we using this as a marketing term or are we using this as an agricultural term? You know, I was just at EcoFarm out here in California, and I love to sort of mix it up with farmers. I'm actually doing a little bit of farming myself. I'm a weekend farmer. And cool. So I love to talk agriculture and love to talk regenerative in agriculture. And there are farmers that are really trying to stop using so much tillage, and they're, you know, good organic farmers that have been around a long time that are really trying to make it work. And, you know, it's not as easy as you might think. So that's the ag conversation. And I could probably talk to you about that all afternoon. Using regenerative as a marketing term is really different. And I think anybody that's using it in marketing, and it gets a little confusing because I've heard farmers use it in marketing, right?
Yep.
You know, when it's used as a marketing term, I think you absolutely have to understand that it has no legal meaning and therefore can mean anything to anybody.
Right.
And we need to be very, very careful. I've heard a number of farmers on stages that kind of talked about how they were regenerative, you know, they'd use the word regenerative a whole lot. If they don't use it with organic, you should be suspect. Because when I've, you know, asked farmers that were using that term repeatedly, well, what do you do for your weeds? The answer that came back would be, well, we're using glyphosate. That's part of how we do it. In my book, regenerative doesn't include glyphosate, but, you know, generally when it's used by farmers, it probably does, unless, you know, the one glowing, shining light there is the Rodale Institute. It's organic regenerative, or regenerative organic. It's never just regenerative because the regenerative part has no legal meaning and even just confuses things for folks because the consumer is confused and the farmers are confused. And, you know, you can't use a term like that that's just, you know, undefined and confusing people. So I hope that we, as retailers, will kind of reject that term as a marketing term.
And so what do you think? You think that the, you know, there's been this, I wish I knew exactly how old it is, but I know we do have a regenerative organic certification program and a regenerative organic label that people are applying to. And I'm wondering, do you think certifying agencies like that can help? And particularly interested in asking you this based too on the fact that you used to work with the Non-GMO Project.
The legal defined word is the organic part of that term, right?
Right.
So, you know, official organic, USDA organic is only, we've only had it for 20 years, which is really, you know, in the scope of agriculture is kind of nothing. So I guess my hope is that we will continue to push organic to be better, you know, and I don't know a single organic farmer that won't tell you that he can do a better job of building his soil. And I think it's fair to say that the real impediment to that is economics, and it's not desire, you know?
Right.
So I've been sort of advocating, you know, maybe here in California politically to try and get more funding for compost and cover cropping for farmers, because they should all be doing that, right? And, you know, to build soil health, which is absolutely, you know, it's the foundation of organic agriculture and is built right into the organic regs that soil building is important. You know, soil building is a little bit of a kind of a, you know, it's like saying, oh, I eat good, right? Everybody says right. They eat good, right?
Sure.
But when you start to kind of, you know, really look at it, well, you know, do you eat organic or, you know, are you trying to lessen, you know, your consumption of sugar? And, you know, when you ask those hard questions, it gets a little bit more complicated, right?
Right.
So I think we all need to push farmers to be more regenerative. And I believe that it's the organic ones that are really going to lead that, not be naive about it either. In fact, when I was at EcoFarm a few days ago, one of the talks I went to, which literally was half a day of listening to organic farmers that were trying to eliminate tillage from their systems. Because if you look at the history of the term regenerative, a lot of it was pushed by these guys that were using glyphosate to kill their weeds and therefore could stop tilling. They were pushing this regenerative and it got sort of picked up by the natural community. So less tillage is a really important part of what is viewed as regenerative. And of course, the farmers that are using glyphosate, it's real easy for them not to till, right? They just go out and spray the weeds. When you talk about organic farmers adhering to low tillage, weeds is probably the chief reason that they're tilling.
Right.
So they're talking more about less tillage. So it's a complicated conversation, you know, and I think that we need to go into it with a real understanding of all those nuances if we use the word at all.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we still have not defined the word natural. The USDA organic certification always included non-GMO, and yet we had a need for a separate non-GMO certification just based on the fact that consumers didn't even understand how expansive, right? And you definitely have to, I do think it's fascinating listening to you that we really do need to define these words so that they actually have power.
And as soil health is, I mean, part of what has happened with regenerative is that we've all really started to look at this preliminary science that really shows that organic agriculture is sequestering huge amounts of carbon in the soil. I'm just reading this book called The Hidden Half of Nature, which is lovely. It talks a lot about soil systems and how they're alive, you know. But a lot of the way that soil is sequestering carbon is through microorganisms, and which is why to me, the term healthy soil is a really good one. It means living healthy soil, right? Because it's largely the microorganisms that are doing all the magic. That's pulling in carbon, putting it deep, interacting with the plants. There's a lot going on there that's exciting, you know, and we're just looking at the very beginning of the science around that. I'm convinced that, you know, organic agriculture is probably our best solution for drawing down carbon worldwide. And I'm also of the mind that we better get it together quicker. You know, I mean, we don't have time to screw around. So when we start arguing about organic, regenerative, it's like, let's just do it. That's kind of where I'm where I'm at. And I think retailers could actually support that. I mean, at Good Earth, we kind of pride ourselves, like, you know, when we're looking on taking a produce vendor, you know, or dealing with a farm, we're always interested in what their growing practices are. So we try and encourage soil health among our producers. You know, organic is the bottom line, but then even above that, there are farmers that are doing a lot more there than others.
Living where you live, you probably have access to some very cool farms, like right in your community. Are there, outside of the produce department, is there anything you feel like in the regenerative or organic space that is like worthy to call out?
You know, I think that the conversation is real for any agricultural product, and mm-hmm. We should not limit it to the produce department.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to think in anticipation of this interview where I had seen anybody kind of using those terms. I know Vital Farms has come out with a dozen eggs that they're calling regenerative. And they are very specific on their website about how they do that. But I couldn't think of anything else in the perishable or the center store space where I was really seeing a brand make a big deal. I know it's growing. There's quite a few in the wellness space as well. But yeah, I was just curious if there was anything on your radar.
You know, I think the one brand I'm seeing is, Bronner's came out with some chocolates that
I think they're
one of the first organic regenerative products on the market, if I'm not mistaken.
Are the 5 SKUs of Magic Bar, which as a side note, are absolutely delicious as
well.
Yeah,
they're good.
And in my opinion, Bronner's can really do no wrong. But the chocolate was really good. Thank you for the reminder. And talk about an agricultural crop that we could see the end of potentially in our lifetime if we do not get more responsible with. And that would be devastating to so many people.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you chatting through this very complicated issue for me, but I know that a lot of our members and stores are going to be interested. Just talk about the kind of the complexity and like things to consider and just, you know, different takes on that. Anything you want to leave the conversation with? Like if you had anything to impart to other grocery buyers or even something that we could pass on to consumers or just kind of sum up like...
You know, what comes to mind is, you know, soil health is real. You know, J.I. Rodale, who was the guy that really coined the word organic way back when, you know, he had this famous quote, which was, healthy soil makes healthy plants, makes healthy people. You know, to me, it a little bit says it all. You know, it's the soil is the foundation of all health on the planet. So it's critical. You know, I just have always encouraged all retailers to, you know, organic should be the minimum. That should be our goal.
Organic should be the minimum is a fabulous way to sum up this whole conversation. Mark, I really appreciate you spending some time with me this afternoon, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thanks.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support.
Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.